The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it, and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net to shore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Then he said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And then he said to this, and when he had said this, he said to them, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. Back in January, I led a young adult pilgrimage down to central Kentucky, which in the Catholic world is referred to as the Catholic Holy Land of America. The Diocese of Bardstown, created in 1808, is one of the first 8 dioceses created in the United States, and it covered all of Kentucky, all of Tennessee, all of Indiana and Michigan, Illinois and Wisconsin. It's our mother diocese in central Kentucky in Bardstown. And it becomes such a hot spot for Catholics because Maryland, which had been the Catholic colony, was eventually taken over by Protestants who then persecuted the Catholics. And so after the Revolutionary War, there's 175 families, Catholic families, from 3 counties in Maryland, and they form the League of Catholic Families, and they're led by a man named Basil Hayden, and he leads them to 3 counties in Kentucky centered on Nelson County, Kentucky. And it becomes a great source of life in the church. So in our young adult pilgrimage, we went down and saw all kinds of sites over 3 days. And at one of the sites, it was a production factory. And as we're getting the tour, our tour guide just points out to us that in their particular production process, there is a lot that could be automated, that could be done by machines, that they do not automate and they do not do by machines. Because for them, there is something to the human touch. There's something about their love of their craft that for them is better done by a human being. And our tour guide said that they are purposefully inefficient. Purposefully inefficient. Brothers and sisters, that's Jesus Christ after the resurrection. That is the season of Easter. It is purposefully inefficient, which is why you and I so often struggle with it, especially in our modern world, especially in suburban America, especially when so many of you work high-stress jobs and that seeps down into our children and we're competing for everything. So we need to be efficient because our lives are demanding. So if we were Jesus, we had been put to a shameful death by the haters, the naysayers, the crucifiers, and we had risen from the dead. If you and I were Jesus, what might we be tempted to do? We would do the efficient and kind of the throw it in their face thing, which is that we might appear in our risen, glorified body to Pontius Pilate. You and I might have appeared to Caiaphas, the chief priest. You and I might have appeared to the whole Sanhedrin. You and I might have gone to Rome and appeared to the emperor and kind of threw it in their face. You doubted me, but I've just won a victory that's actually going to conquer your empire. You and I might be tempted to do that, because sometimes that's our very human but also fallen response to when people doubt us, when they mock us or ridicule us. It's to show them. But also because we live in lives that are, by their nature, seemingly so grounded in efficiency, if you and I wanted to convert the world, we would often tend to appear to the people that are famous, the people that are powerful, the people in charge of armies, the people who could top down force conversion upon this world. If Jesus Christ wanted to do that, and he fully could have, the whole world might have been converted in a matter of years. But that's not what Jesus does after the resurrection. Instead of doing the efficient thing, what does he do? Come and have breakfast. Jesus, in today's gospel, it's the third time he's appeared after his resurrection. And this third time, he invites them on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias, come and have breakfast. What was the second time? It's when Thomas is caught in doubt. And not only does he walk into the room, he also invites them in the Gospel of Luke to have breakfast with him. After the resurrection, Jesus isn't going out to conquer the world. He's not going out on a victory tour. He's not going out to do the efficient thing. He's showing up to the people who loved him, and he's inviting them to have breakfast. It's purposefully inefficient. That's what Jesus does. And he does it for a purpose, because he had promised his disciples, I will never leave you alone. So what does he do after the resurrection? He keeps that promise. The goal of Easter is not necessarily to go out and conquer the world. He could have given them their marching orders. Do not be on believing, but believe. Now go spread the gospel. The season of Easter, though, goes 50 days before Pentecost, which we will celebrate. At Pentecost, it's when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. They go out and they proclaim the gospel, and in one moment, 3,000 people are converted. And from that moment, they go out to conquer the world through the preaching of the gospel, through mighty deeds of God acted through them. And ultimately, it leads them to their death, because as we heard in our first reading, they were not ashamed, but actually proud to suffer for God. But that's not Easter, that's Pentecost. Easter is the invitation to come and have breakfast. After you've been waging this battle of Lent, joining yourself to Christ, fighting to free you from everything which takes you away from yourself, which takes you away from your family, which takes you away from your God, you've been fighting. And now the invitation is, come and have breakfast. Come and be purposefully inefficient. Come and be loved. That's the invitation of Easter, but we struggle with it because that's not how our modern world tells us we should live. But it is incredibly human. What does Jesus do in our lives? Think about your own lives, especially we have a lot of parents here, a lot of grandparents here. In family life, if you want to invite your children to take part in this thing that you're building, this life that you're building, this home that you're building, it is inefficient to bring your children into that. And you know that because oftentimes they're hesitant to do chores. They're hesitant, reluctant to do things that they're asked to do. And sometimes we have to accept it's not going to get done. Or it's not going to get done in the way I would do it, or to the standard I'm seeking. It might not get done at all. But it's good for this child to be brought into the life of our family. It's good for this child to be an active participant in this thing that we're doing. It's good for this child to grow and to be loved into being. But that's going to entail some inefficiency. And for parents, it would be much more efficient if we did everything ourselves. It would not be pleasant, but it would be efficient. But not only is it good for our children to be brought into this thing we're doing together, this thing of life together, it's also good for parents because we, through our children, have our hearts, the rough parts of them, worn off. We have to become more patient and realize with gratitude who has been patient for us when we in our lives have been inefficient, when we in our lives have struggled, when we in our lives needed to be loved, not because we've done something well, but because we were worthy of love. It is purposefully inefficient. And it's good for children to be brought into the life of their family as an active participant. It's good for spouses to open their hearts to one another. The experience even of falling in love is purposefully inefficient. When you're first falling in love, not a lot gets done, and quite a few things might even suffer because you're so taken in the encounter with the other. It's purposefully inefficient. Many human things that you and I are called to are not about results. It's not about efficiency. It's not about performance. It is simply about being, which is why we struggle with it. That's what Jesus does. And what's his invitation to Peter? You see him respond in love. Peter, who has denied the Lord, Peter, who ran away, what does Jesus do? They're out fishing. And Jesus doesn't show up and say, "Why are you wasting time? I've already appeared to you twice. You should be working." He's on the shore and he helps them because on their own, there's something they cannot do. Cast over on the right side and you will make a catch. Come, meet me on the shore. What does Peter do? Through this purposeful inefficiency, through seeing that's the Lord, he behaves in what is actually a very undignified way for someone that's the first pope of the Catholic Church. But he does that because he's so moved with love. Here's a middle-aged man who, instead of just riding the boat back, hikes up his clothes, jumps in the water, and swims 100 yards, looking kind of like an idiot. Because everyone else is on the boat, and they're doing the efficient thing, which is just to ride the boat back. Peter, in love, jumps and swims. He sees Jesus. Jesus is already prepared breakfast. All he needs is some fish. So he tells Peter, "Bring me some fish." The logical thing to do if you have maybe seven people who need breakfast is maybe to bring seven fish. What does Peter do? So moved in excitement, so undignified because he's simply being in that moment, he drags a net of 153 fish to Jesus. Imagine him like a child. Imagine your own children when they are so moved with love, when they are so grounded in who they are to you, when they are coming alive in a moment, they want you to be part of it. When Jesus asked Peter, "Bring the fish," and Peter dragging that net to Jesus, I imagine he's looking at Jesus, looking at these fish, and he's just exultant in that moment, letting himself be rejoiced in, not afraid to be a holy fool because he's loved. And what's an important detail in today's gospel? This all occurs at a charcoal fire. It's at a charcoal fire on Good Friday that Peter denied Jesus three times. So it's at a charcoal fire that Jesus is going to give Peter the opportunity to be healed. And he could have simply asked one time, "Do you love me?" And that could have been enough. That would have been efficient. But he asks him three times. And that's on purpose, because it's purposefully inefficient, because it's more human for Peter if I had three denials to have three iterations of love, not because the first one's not enough, but because the Lord is doing something on my heart. He's taking me back to a place that had been a loss, back to a place that had been embarrassing, back to a place where I'm still caught in shame. And he's meeting every one of those defeats with a new act of love. It's purposefully inefficient. Jesus Christ wants to conquer this world. And instead of appearing to every single person, he's revealed himself to you to set your heart on fire, to let you know that you are loved, you were fought for, a victory's been won, you are enough. And that your heart, this is the hope, your heart will catch so on fire with the love of God that it's going to spread to the hearts of the people around you. But that's a gamble, that's a risk, that is an inefficient way to conquer the world. But it is the reality that this world will not be won over by machines, will not be won over by productivity, will not be won over by meeting metrics. This world will be won over by love, because that is the reality of human existence. It's inefficient, but purposefully so. So, brothers and sisters, we do need to be spreading the gospel. We do need to go out and help conquer this world. But very often, the invitation of the Lord is to come and have breakfast, to be loved back into being, to be reconstituted as a family. And from that, everything else will come in time. Come and have breakfast. Be purposefully inefficient.